Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. What is your bad habit? Everybody has at least one. Perhaps it's smoking. Maybe you cuss too much. Maybe you're always late to everything. Is it time for you to change your bad habits? If so, how do you do that? Well, tonight we have help. My guests are urologist and wellness coach Candace Camille and Erica St. Bernard, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. If you have a bad habit that you are trying to get rid of, or a bad habit perhaps that other people say you need to get rid of, this is the conversation for you. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Erica and Candace, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us here.
Glad to be here.
All right, so let me start with Erica. Define bad habit.
Candace and I were talking. Bad habit is relative, because what's bad for me may not be bad for you. And so I think it's a question of, how is the habit showing up in your life? How is it impacting your ability to show up in your life? If it's impacting your work performance, if it's impacting how you show up in relationships, if it's impacting your physical health or your wellness and well-being, then it's time to assess whether it's a habit that you should hold on to or one that you should work to change.
Wait a minute. Okay. Starting trouble already. You said that it may be bad for some people, but not bad for you. But if it's a habit that is impacting your job, your well-being, how can that not be a bad habit?
I think that's the question, though. It depends on who's saying that it's a bad habit, right? If it's not problematic for the person, then they won't have the desire to do anything to change it. So it'll just be a habit. Mm-hmm. To the people around them, it will be perceived as a bad habit. But until the individual with the habit, with the behavior, with the actions or what have you, until that person decides that this is problematic for me, maybe because it's problematic for my job or the people surrounding me, but until that person comes to the acceptance that this is an issue that needs to be addressed, it's just a habit.
I don't agree with that, because how can just because, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's like that old saying, you know, I drink too much, I fall down, mm-hmm. I get back up and keep going or what have you. But the point of the matter is, if you drink too much and you fall down, it may not bother you, but come on, that's a bad habit.
And you know what? I disagree to a certain degree as well, because when you're talking about habits, and some of them are just generic and they're bad, when mm-hmm. you're talking about smoking too much, drinking too much drugging, too much sex, and, you know, whatever it is. So it almost bears to that habit or addiction mm-hmm. when you go into it. But even when you look at it, a habit is a habit. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about your pain points, and I believe mm-hmm. that's what you're saying, that if it gets too painful for you, mm-hmm. then you may have to change it. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your pain point and change it? But in today's society right now, simply because we want everything fast and mm-hmm. we don't want to do any work, it's going to be very difficult for anybody to change a bad habit or even recognize if it's a bad habit or not.
But okay, let me see if I can drill down a little bit more on this, Erica, because I need to get a yes or no definitive thing here, and you seem like you're just sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
I smoked for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I knew it was a bad habit, mm-hmm. but it didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I finally quit.
Yes, what pushed you to that?
My ex-wife.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
No, and I need to be really clear. Just because I knew it was a bad habit, mm-hmm. I wasn't going to quit, because right. I enjoyed smoking.
Yes.
So because I enjoyed it, mm-hmm. you're telling me that it wasn't a bad habit?
I'm suggesting that the habit itself, by itself, may be a bad habit. But until you were ready, until whoever has the bad habit is ready, nothing changes.
But it's still a bad habit.
It could still be a bad habit. I'll say that.
It's
a bad habit.
Thank you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about bad habits, including bad habits where people just refuse to say yes or no. You know?
Well, in my line of work, I try not to tell people that what they're doing is good or bad. I ask them, how do you see this behavior? Is this behavior problematic for you? And if so, let's talk about that more than me pointing my finger and saying that's a bad habit and you should stop. That's just not the way that I do my work.
Well, I do my work that way. Listen, you smoking 20 years is a bad habit, dude. You need to stop it.
You
need to stop it. You messing up some stuff, some lungs. You know, you're causing some health issues that's going to go on with you. You may want to consider doing something about this, because you 40 right now, you may not see 60 if you don't change this.
Exactly. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about bad habits, defining them, and how to change those bad habits. Now, what is the difference between a bad habit and an addiction?
Addictions, I believe, actually have some type of physical ramifications in your body. So meaning that it's not something that you want now, and it's something that you need. Your body is calling you to it. And smoking is one of those things, because it's so addictive to the drugs or the nicotine that's there that has an effect on our organs. So when your body starts calling for it and you cannot control it, you can control a bad habit. You cannot control an addiction.
Cursing. Or cussing.
Cussing.
Yeah. All right. Cussing. Which perhaps is a difference. There's a difference.
Depending on who you talk to.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson. You know, he has a PhD in colorful metaphors. Is his prolific use of curse words, is he addicted to cussing? Or is it just a bad habit? Or is it just a habit?
It just is.
I mean, right. I think it depends on the context. If he's with family and friends or in his social circles and that's just the way he speaks, then that may not be an issue.
Or if he's in the movies.
Right, in the spaces
Samuel Jackson,
You're getting. You know what you're getting, though, when you invite Samuel Jackson to a room.
But does that make it correct, though? Oh. So at the end of the day, when you look at cussing as an habit, what it is.
Swearing,
you know, whatever, potatoes, potatoes, or whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, is it offensive for him? It's like most habits that when you have a bad habit that affect other people and you don't care about it, then that's a problem to me. Because even in when I listen to him and I have, and I'm like, dude, really? Is it really necessary?
Your ears are bleeding.
Yeah. So is it necessary? So for him, I beg to believe it's something else that he's after. You know, so again, that goes back to his limiting belief and when he was a child and he needs some help and nobody's paid him any attention or whatever it is. Because when we get to these habits like that where it affects other people, it's something that we're dealing with that we haven't dealt with. And we talked about this earlier in some events in your life that brings you to that type of behavior. Now, is that a habit or is it a behavior that he's dealing with?
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about bad habits. What are they and how do you change them? Sharon, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I have a bad habit. I am kind of addicted to my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
There is a game on my phone called Tetris.
Yes.
And I've been playing it for years. And on my downtime, when I get on it, I can't stop until I reach the highest score. And sometimes it may take me probably 30 minutes to get like 600 lines, but I will keep on going until I get it. So that's a bad habit for me because it eats up my time. So I need to know how to branch away from that cell phone and playing that game.
I see. What do you think about that, Erica? Because I like Candy Crush.
Yes,
and
we all.
I'm at 2,280.
He's playing the game right now.
He's playing the game
right now.
Candy Crush
right now.
I thought she was going to say Candy Crush. But is Sharon's situation problematic?
I think it is. If she defines it as problematic, and she has, she says that it eats away at her time. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's something she would prefer to do with that 30 minutes of time, but is unable to do it because she's invested in this game. And so I would challenge her, and which is what I do with my clients and what I do with myself, to disengage from the social app, to get off the computer, to get off the phone, to delete it, to delete the app. And that sounds like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? But then to replace it with something else. Because I think sometimes when we try to go cold turkey with something to break a habit, we have to give ourselves something else to do with that time. So that 30 minutes that would be downtime, challenge yourself to think about, what would I prefer to do? What is something else I could do that would help me unwind? Most times we do something, things that are kind of mindless. You don't have to do a whole lot of thinking to play Tetris. I mean, you have to think a little bit, but not in the same way you do at your job. And so finding something else that would, you know, give you an opportunity to release the tension and pressure from the day, but that might be a bit more beneficial. Maybe coloring, maybe journaling, maybe, you know, doing some sand and water play, maybe going outside for a walk, maybe preparing a meal. Different things that allow you to use your hands, since that's what Tetris does. It gives you this opportunity to connect and do something with your hands. And so finding another way to engage some of that energy in a more productive way.
Well, let me ask you real quick, Sharon, why do you think that this is a problem? You said it eats up your time. What do you believe you've lost out on by playing Tetris?
Well, my issue is I multitask a lot. I run a couple of different organizations, and sometimes I just need to, you know, digest for a moment and just break away from a lot of my work. But the work has to still go on, so I use it as a relaxing mechanism, but my issue again is time consuming. So I, even though I know I need to be working on another assignment, I just have to break away for a moment. And I just can't stop until I get that, again, those number of lines. So to me, it is a problem. I think I do need to take it off my phone, because I know there's other things I need to be working on and that I should be working on. So I definitely appreciate the suggestion.
You know, I how does it make you feel? Because I think even with you playing a Tetris and all the things that, it's a feeling that you're searching for. So even if it's your downtown, now I don't think you should just take it off your phone and give it away, because just like adding something on, but I do think you should scale back and simply say, this is what I plan to do in my downtime because it makes me feel good, for you to go there, get it or whatever. So now you're talking about your commitments, because is it time that you're worried about, or your commitments? Are you committed to Tetris? You know, are you just making time for it?
Yeah, unfortunately I am, because it's almost like a second nature. If I am not working on a project or at my computer, if I'm sitting in the bed and I'm watching TV, it's like I automatically pick up my cell phone and play this game. And it's become, you know, a habit for me. So it's not even that I'm sometimes thinking about it. It just happens. So I think I need to get rid of it.
Well, you know, you got to make a decision. And at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. If it's a distractor for you, you got to decide. Listen, you get to decide. Your choice is yours. Either I'm going to do this or get things done. Or is it interfering with something that's being done? See, now that's a choice. You're allowing it to interfere. So you would have to decide, you know, I really got to put this down. And just like Erica said, one way to do it is to take it off your phone for now and see what that does to you, and add something else onto it that's going to give you the same feeling when you pick something to add on to change one habit, a bad habit, for a good habit. Is it going to give you the same feeling? Because 9 times out of 10, if it doesn't, you're going to go back to your standard operating procedure.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for sharing with us and being transparent, and I appreciate it. So, and good luck to you as you try to navigate this process. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about bad habits, big or small, one or many. What are your bad habits, and are you struggling to address them? Give us a call. I want to hear from you what you think about this. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm going to go to a break in just a few seconds. But before I do, how can people find you on the web or social media, Candace?
I am at the Wellologist across all social media platforms, and I can be found at CandaceCamille.com.
Okay. And Erica?
Yes, yourlifeswell.com and at yourlifeswell on Instagram and Facebook.
And as always, we will make sure that that information is posted on our website on whur.com after 8:30 tonight. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Patricia, Kimberly, you're next. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are helping you address your bad habits, how to make a change for the better. My guests are wellologist and wellness coach Candace Camille and Erica St. Bernard, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Patricia, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Patricia. What's on your mind?
My habit is that I eat. I want to eat all the time. And I do go and I work out, so I'm not a very heavy person. I'm getting heavier now since my exercise habits have changed. So that's what I'm concerned. That's where a lot of the concern comes in also, when I'm just not able to put in that time and have that energy to exercise all of the food away. And I do eat good sometimes, but I love junk and I just overeat often. And I just want to keep eating. I don't know when to stop. I just keep eating.
Erica, do you have any assistance or thoughts about what you're hearing from Patricia?
I do. Thank you so much for your transparency, Patricia. Many people struggle with food. Food is something that we have to have. We can't live without food, except we could live with less food, if we're honest, right? So the opportunity here is to, I think, get a sense of what's going on when you're eating. What are you feeling? What are you trying to fill, right? You're filling your belly. You're filling your body. But there's something else that's missing, something else that you're longing for. And for so long, as with most bad habits, the intention initially is to tend to something that is problematic. The goal is for it to be a solution. So at some point, food was a solution for you, and now it's become problematic. And so I would challenge you to think about, what are you trying to feed? What feelings are you feeding? Is it happiness? Is it sadness? Are you bored? Is it that you're lonely? Is it that you're tired? What's really going on before you're putting food in your mouth? And then what feeling do you get as you're eating? Is it euphoric? Does it feel like home? Does it feel like, oh, I can make it? What are those feelings attached to the getting ready to eat? And then even while you're eating and then after you're eating, and kind of mapping that out to see what feelings continue to surface, because that will give you insight as to what you might need to work on with a therapist or with a coach or just even on your own time, but to be intentional to figure out what are those feelings connected to the food choices you're making and also the times and the amounts of food.
You know, I will add to that, because before you can even deal with the emotional part of your eating, you want to make sure clinically that you're okay. So you do want to check in, you know, with your doctor and making sure your numbers is off when you're talking about your deficiencies, mm-hmm. because you could be craving those specific deficiencies. So first, that's where you want to start. Check on your numbers. And when it comes to just emotional heat eating, you can't fill your soul, a hole in your soul, with food. So depending on what it is that you're working on, like Erica says, is that emotion, what are you feeding? Because it's what you're eating or what's eating you. And you have to find out what's eating you and see what is that thing that you're feeding. And to do that, again, understanding what you're eating and then going to talk to somebody. So 9 times out of 10, it has to do with what something's going on in your mental capacity and your emotional. So perhaps you would need a coach to talk to, a therapist, or somebody to really, really get to the bottom of your eating blueprint, because you have it and it needs to change.
How long has this been a recognizable issue for you, Patricia?
That was my next comment, and it has been for so long. It has been for some years. I've just been a constant eater. I just have to watch when I eat, and I really try to make sure that I'm not thirsty. And then there are times that I think that I'm just tired, I'm not getting enough rest, and that may trigger eating also. There are triggers. I learned that when I went to Overeating Anonymous, which I didn't spend a lot of time there, but I have had some, I have contacted them and had some sessions. There are triggers that I watch for, and I just have to, I don't know what would, I just know that it's not good for my, I'm getting older because I'm a little over 50, and it's just not good the way that I overeat and gorge, like just overstuff my body.
So let me, before I let you go, because I have to get to Kimberly, Erica, what's the first step for her in attempting to address this?
I think she's taken the first step is to openly acknowledge it out loud outside of her own head and heart. And I would say follow this up, Patricia, with looking for a therapist, finding somebody to sit on a couch with and talk. Doesn't mean you're at a breaking point, doesn't mean you're in crisis mode, but suggests that you could use some support. And in navigating and figuring out how to take better care of yourself beyond the food, this is really about how to take care of you. And the food is a part of it, but it's not the only thing. And so I do think that it's a great opportunity at this point, since you're acknowledging that this is a challenge and that it's been in place for a while now, it's likely that there's some underlying concerns, mental and emotional, that would benefit from support. And I would greatly appreciate that you take good care of yourself in that way. That's what would be most important.
Indeed. So, Patricia, thank you for calling, and please take care of yourself. And as I said, there will be information on our website after 8:30 and some resources that may be able to help you. So thank you for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kimberly calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Kimberly. What's on your mind?
Hi. So my issue is 90% of the time when I get a compliment, I don't say thank you.
You don't say thank you?
Nope.
Do you get a lot of compliments?
Yeah.
You said you do or do not?
I do.
What kind of compliments?
What I have on looks nice, or I'm an attractive person, those type of things.
Mm-hmm. So when someone says, Kimberly, your hair looks great, what do?
I will not say anything.
You just stare?
Yeah.
Do you do this with other things? Do you, if somebody gives you, like, you know, if they bring you food to the table, do you say thank you for those things? Do you say thank you if somebody gives you a gift? Or is this just specific to compliments you receive from people?
I think it's specific to compliments.
So there may be some underlying, so even when you go back from probably in your past, that you're dealing with, that something happened to you, to do it. And again, just sitting down, because when you know to say thank you when someone gives you something, and if it just around the compliments and how you look or how your hair, you're cute, and it bothers you, there's something else there, underlying there, that you definitely have to deal with.
So when someone compliments you on an outfit or your hair let me say this, are these compliments specifically about physical appearance? What if you do something for someone, okay, or rather somebody may do something for you? That's what I mean. If someone does something for you, do you still have a problem saying thank you?
Oh, no. I'm appreciative of anybody that does.
So this is about physical.
Always doing things for other people. Mm-hmm.
So this is about your physical appearance.
Yeah.
I see.
So this is a concept of self-concern, not a performance or appreciation for what other people do. So this is definitely one of those things that has layers to it. And so it would be important for you to begin to think about what does it mean when somebody compliments you? I would even start with, what do you think or feel when a compliment is coming your way, right? You know that you've dressed well, you've put your clothes together nicely, you've done your hair in a nice way. So you would expect that somebody might say something. What is your thought or feeling as that compliment, you know, is put into the air? What is your initial reaction other than just being silent? What are you thinking? What are you feeling?
I'm just like, you look nice too. It's nothing that I don't have or work hard for that the next person can have.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you one more question. What if all compliments about your appearance stopped? How would you feel about that?
I don't think it would bother me because, again, I'm not even addressing it from the beginning.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's you. Like you said, it's layers and layers of dealing with your self-worth and how you feel about you. Because, again, if there's no feeling attached to someone giving you a compliment, it is something definitely that you would have to deal with that's deep on the inside of you. So perhaps, you know, going to talk to somebody about it and getting to the root of the cause, because there's a root there that you need to get deep down in and figure out, you know, what that is.
Okay. Kimberly, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about bad habits, how to address them, how to get rid of them, how to make a change. In your practice, Erica, what is the most unusual kind of unusual kind of bad habit you've heard about?
It's a great question. In practice, I can't say that people generally come to therapy, at least for me, to work on bad habits. They reveal themselves over time. But again, I work from the framework. If it's not a problem for you, it's not a problem for me. So unless the client says, this is something that I need to work on, then I might notice, okay, we'll go with something very benign. If a client comes in and they are a nail biter and they have bitten their nails all the way down to the nail bed and there's like no nail left, right? I will notice that and I may say, hey, I notice your hands, like, you know, and if they say, yeah, no, that's nothing, then I'm not going to make an issue of that. So unless they bring it to me, and for the most part, clients have not come for that. So I would say this, if anything, it's more likely images, you know, concerns with self-image, kind of to the last caller's point, not so much that they don't accept compliments, but that they are just wrestling with loving themselves or seeing themselves as worthy, not even just beautiful, not even, you know, accomplished, but just as worthy of care, worthy of attention, worthy of kindness.
But what would a bad habit be that would be demonstrative of that? I mean, other than mm-hmm. not saying thank
so
you.
So downplaying yourself. You know, if somebody says, oh my gosh, you did such a great job. Oh no, that was nothing. No, it's nothing. And you know that you was up all night. You worked, you know, you pulled an all nighter and you pushed to, you know, to produce whatever it was that you did, and you downplay it. So minimizing your success. Also, in terms of imposter syndrome is something that a lot of people are dealing with.
What is that?
Imposter syndrome.
What is that?
So this notion that people have accomplished whatever they've accomplished and somehow they still don't feel good enough. They feel like they'll be found out. They feel like somebody will find out that they don't know all that they should know or that they present to know. And so this, they're wrestling with, yes, I've done these things and people see them and they are appreciative or, you know, acknowledging them, but oh my goodness, if they ever really knew. So this opportunity internally to wrestle against what you see yourself producing, how you see yourself showing up in the world, and not being able to value that in the same way that somebody outside of you would be able to. And so sometimes that will show up if we think about it in terms of a bad habit.
You know, for me, you know, as being a wellness coach and a gym owner, I get the bad habits mm-hmm. coming through the door. Mm-hmm. You know, I get that you're drinking, you know, 2 6-packs of Pepsi a day, or, you know, or you're overeating mm-hmm. and you're not sleeping, or the bad habit of not drinking enough water. That's going to bring your body. Because one of the things we work on is, you know, our body, our relationships, our business, our bank. And one of the things I know for sure, you can't master any of that if you have bad habits in your mind, your body, and your soul. So when you're eating some different foods like the sodas and you're overeating and you have become obese and overweight, those are the clients that we get in all the time. But it goes right back to what Erica's saying, in a sense where you lose your self-worth, you lose your value. You know, you don't think you're not good enough, you're not worthy, but it has a lot to do with what you're eating. It's all about your intake. So what is your intake? like your habits in terms of your food, your habits in terms of your people, your habits in terms of your energy. Like, what is it that you're putting in that's really, really bad? So we get to the bottom of it. Is it the food? Is it your thoughts? Is it the people, the energy that you're around that we have to change? See, because when you have bad habits, in order to get rid of them, you have to get rid of a bad habit and add a good habit on. But what we try to do is stay into our bad habits and still add good habits on. It doesn't work like that because, you know, it doesn't work like that at all. So basically, you know, it's basically the food. The food is food is everything, especially in today's society, that's causing all the problems that we have.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about how you break bad habits. And can you get rid of a bad habit? Do you really have to replace it with something else? We'll talk about it. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome
back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about bad habits and how to make a change. So, we have established, Candace, that individual A may have a bad habit. Pick it. Gambling, overeating, cursing too much, whatever. How do you begin to, if this isn't an addiction that may necessarily feed some chemical imbalance, let's kind of throw that, you know, the medical piece out. But this is just a practice, cursing. Let's do the cursing thing, or not. But how do you choose to say, I'm going to stop cussing? And there's got to be a better way to express it. Do I need help? Can I do it on my own? What do you say?
You know, you can, but at the end of the day, it boils down to a choice. Like, first of all, you got to want to stop cussing. You know, it's just that simple. You got to want to stop cussing. You got to want to stop overeating. You know, the choice really is yours. And then you really have to develop a plan. So trying to say, you know what? Now, there are some exceptions to the rule that says, you know, I'm going to stop today and I'm never going to do it again. It can happen, but that's not the majority. So the minority, so when you're talking about the majority of people that does it, they may need some help. They have to cultivate a plan to literally get rid of it. You know, so for me, for overeating, I mean, I was 215-20 pounds. I mean, I used to eat like crazy. But when the pain got so bad of the habit of eating where I couldn't breathe and I couldn't walk, something truly, when it comes to really bad habits, has to happen to you for you to want to change it. So it depends on where your pain point is. I couldn't breathe, so I knew I couldn't drink that much soda anymore, and I needed to lose the weight in order for me to be well. And it depends on what it is that you're seeking in your bad habit, whether it's, you know, overeating or the cussing. Like, what's the bother? Like, what's the pain that's going to say, you know what? This is a really bad habit. It's affecting me. I need to change it. I'm going to try it on my own. But if this does not work, I'm going to seek out some help to try to get it changed.
I think in addition to that, it's figuring out a timeline too. Like, okay, I'm going to try to do this on my own for the next month. Say if it's cussing, we'll go with that example. For the next month, I'm going to work on that. And as you suggested, putting a plan in place and then deciding if after these 30 days, I'm still cursing just as much as I was before I started, then maybe
Or even more.
Cause maybe I'm more upset. Right.
Exactly. I'm still cursing.
So that might be a thing though, right? That the joke is that you would then find words to replace the typical curse words, right? So you would find some silly words to throw in there. But this idea of, again, setting a schedule, a time frame where for the next month, I'm going to try this on my own. And if I'm not successful, maybe I'll get an accountability partner, somebody that can say, hey, I'm noticing or something. Some finding a way to connect with somebody who may have an issue similar to yours or may have something totally different. But this opportunity to connect with somebody who can help to hold you accountable to the goal that you've set. Cursing might be something that, you know, it's a little bit difficult maybe because they're not with you all the time. But finding a way, again, to connect with somebody who might be able to help you work toward the goal.
You know how, before, you know, we move on to the next, one of the things about it, even when you're talking about your plan and you mm-hmm. want to get rid of something or do anything, you know, there's five things always say that you have to do when you're looking to change. And number one, you got to be committed to the process of it. You got to be committed and say, I'm going to do this. And if you're committed, even in that timeline, mm-hmm. you have to be consistent. See, because consistency breeds excellence. So if you want to change, you have to be consistent every single day on that change. And then you got to create a type of discipline that's mm-hmm. going to get you there. You know, I got to do this every single day, no matter what. You know, when I was changing and I had to do something, I decided I'm a plank every day. So I planked every day. It created a discipline. Mm-hmm. But then you got to get determined. That's the fourth one. You got to just get determined to say, this is what I want. And the very last one, which is the most important, is you got to have some patience with yourself. See, because we're so busy trying to hurry up and mm-hmm. do it, we lose patience, and then we have to go back to our, we fall back on our standard operating procedure. But once you develop your plan, if you get committed, you get consistent, you develop a discipline, and you just get determined to get it done and have some patience, you will stay to your timeline.
Mm-hmm. So, do you absolutely have to replace a bad habit with a good habit? Can't you just get rid of the bad habit?
I think the short answer would be yes, but the more complex answer, because we're complex human beings, is that you will likely have to do a combination of the two. Some people will need a hard, fast, I'm stopping this and I'm starting this in its place. For other people, it's just, I'm walking away from this and I'm never going to return to it. I've heard success stories of people with drugs and alcohol and other types of addictions where they've said, you know, whether it was a spiritual experience, I went to the altar, I left, and I never wanted drugs again. I never drank again. And that happens for some. That's not the majority, though. So this opportunity to acknowledge that each individual needs something different. And I think when we remind ourselves of, you know, what you just mentioned, Candace, with regard to patience, I think of it in terms of the word grace. You didn't get to the space where you are drinking or smoking or doing any of the habitual things that you've been doing overnight. And so to expect that any change or transition is going to happen in that time frame is really unrealistic. And so when we give ourselves realistic timelines and we say, maybe I don't need to replace it, but I do need to get really clear about why I'm giving it up, so that that is what helps me to sustain the giving it up or sustain the commitment.
You know, and you also have to go back to why you started it in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. because there's a reason that
Absolutely.
We smoke, the reason
yeah.
that we overeat mm-hmm. or don't say thank you, mm-hmm. you know, or play mm-hmm. Tetris for 10 hours mm-hmm. a day. You know, so there's a mm-hmm. reason behind it. So when you go back to your why there, yeah. there's some underlying issues that you gotta deal with that cause you to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. Like, what is it that you're not dealing mm-hmm. with that brings you to your bad habit? So that's something you have to think about.
So in the situation with the young lady who says that when she gets compliments mm-hmm. that she won't say thank you, mm-hmm. can she decide one day to start doing that without addressing the underlying issue? Is
no,
that you,
no.
So you can't,
no,
short answer.
You,
no, that's a,
you can't
yeah.
fight willpower no. against an unaddressed underlying
exactly.
issue.
No,
exactly.
You can't.
Yeah. She can tell herself, the next time somebody compliments me, I'm going to say thank you. And she will have the intention to do so. But until she gets clear about the fact that she's worthy of that compliment, or that compliment may be coming from a good place, she won't be able to exercise that willpower to say thank you. So it requires both. So it is the telling yourself, I'm going to say thank you the next time a compliment comes, but also doing the work where you begin to believe that the compliment is coming from a good-natured place, and that you're worthy of that compliment, that you are beautiful, that your outfit does look nice, that your hair is in place, whatever the compliment is. You'd have to get to the space of accepting that that's true.
And it boils down to even what motivates her. Like, what's her motivator? Because even if you look at willpower and motivation, mm-hmm. it's almost the same. But it only goes so far. It's not a maintainer.
Right.
You know, so it's like, what's going to maintain if you decide, like, one day I just woke up and I decide I'm just not going to, I don't want to feel this way anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't. Like, but what did you do? Mm-hmm. Because even if we say, you know what, I'm not going to smoke anymore, what was your next when you made that decision? I'm not going to smoke anymore. And what was your why? I mean, is that, did you want to see 70 years old? Were you trying to build up your body retirement? You know, at that moment, there's a reason when you say, you know what? I had enough of this. Mm-hmm. This is bad. Like, what is your next and what's your reason? Is your reason big enough to keep you there, to keep you going? Because it's not about starting it. It's about staying it for the duration as you continue to never fall back to your standard operating procedure or never fall back to that habit.
But I think, and this goes back to the difference between a habit that also has a physiological addiction, mm-hmm. nicotine, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. where, yeah, it's been 18 years now, and yet once a month and sometimes once every 2 months or so, I still get a craving. Mm-hmm. Now, that's when the willpower comes in. I just ignore it, and it doesn't go away. I think that I forget that I have it, and then it goes away. And so I haven't done it, nor am I tempted to do cigars or stuff like that. But for someone who, and I go back to the cussing thing, for people who just do it in there, and that's everywhere. You don't even see a lot of smoking in movies and mm-hmm. modern TV shows anymore. There's a whole lot of cussing. Mm-hmm. And so that may not be a physiological addiction, but it's just something that some people may still struggle with.
It's a deflection. You know, mm-hmm. even as I'm cussing, if I'm cussing you out.
You?
For, yeah.
No.
If I'm cussing you out for whatever reason, you know, it's something else. It's a deflection, a way that I want you to feel. So even when we talk like that in such a negative, derogatory way, we're trying to make you feel some kind of way to keep us from feeling what we should mm-hmm. be feeling. So we deflect it onto you. Like, I'm going to make you feel like crap.
Yeah, but that's assuming that that the use of those colorful metaphors is used in a derogatory, because I could say you fine as...
Mm-hmm. What?
You
know, come on.
And I mean,
she's ready to say thank you.
Right.
I was ready. I was going to say thank you.
Right, see. But, and that may also have been designed to make you feel... Mm-hmm. You know, not just you're fine, but you're fine as.
But it's all balls right down to the feeling. Like, what are you trying to do with the words that's coming out of your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you trying to make me feel? Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, it may not, you started off good, but you got down to the end. I'd be like, oh, so if you just take that last word mm-hmm. off, we can talk.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like you're still trying to deflect or actually get a rise or a feeling out of someone mm-hmm. else when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good place for us to stop. I'm sure there are a lot of people there mm-hmm. that are out there. They're still struggling with bad habits, but keep struggling. keep struggling with it. Don't put it off.
That's right.
You know, reach out for help. And you know, help is definitely available. I want to thank both of you, Candace Camille and Erica St. Bernard. I appreciate you all coming to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, July 5th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Iron Waller. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.